it's not.
Shop smart, shop S-Mart. Lady, I'm afraid I'm going to have to ask you to leave the store.
Who the hell are you?
Name's Ash. This is my boomstick!
I'm gonna miss that opening. It's sad this is our last time using that one. That's I'm a big fan of Evil Dead. It's gonna be sad to see that one go. But anyway, hi, welcome to Binge Buddies, Deadites in Aisle 3. Host is always Brian Dress. With me as always is Matt Zombie Dog Dykes, Joel DeWitt, Ryan Lutens.
We hey.
Don't on rack up. Hi. Right,
but this okay. is in fact
And here we are at the end of Evil Dead, and I'm a little saddened by it. As much as it was more of a rocky road than I expected it to be, I really, really like Evil Dead still. Still love it. And I'm going to do a big wrap-up episode to express why we love it so much. But before we do, as I like to do in these things, I want to see, how was your journey? If you started loving it, do you still love it? If you started hating it, Joel, do you end up liking it a little bit?
I did set a target on my back from the start of this, so I understand. I do.
Well, we'll start with you, Joel. How, by the end of it, so you started with like, this shit is not for me. Did it warm on you?
I've grown an appreciation towards Evil Dead, definitely. My sentiment on the starting point is largely unchanged, with some little bit of revision, but it's at the fringes. But the problem is that without that as the foundation, you don't get everything else, right?
True.
And that foundation, Sam Raimi, Bruce Campbell, and broadly people who understood Evil Dead really took it places that grew it into something bigger than where it started, while also pulling things from the original two movies that worked. You know, they knew how to expand it into something bigger, more fleshed out, more evened out. And the people who worked on the movies that weren't with Bruce Campbell, I think more or less got the idea to varying levels of success. But I think they built a personality and profile of Evil Dead that when you follow that template as a foundation, you can grow off of that and make something really great out of it.
Yeah, I'd agree with all of that. I started a much more positive place of this is like one of my favorite horror movie franchises. Not, you know, the big guy behind me, but you know, I still love it. And by the end, I think I was a little bit more, I don't want to say mean to it, but I didn't have as such rose colored glass towards it. I'm like, it does have its faults and I will still love it, you know, knowing those faults. But now at least I can be a little bit more honest about, like, it's not perfect. Like, maybe it's binging it was the problem, but we took a lot of breaks during Ash vs. Evil Dead, which did not help. So maybe binging would have helped that one. So I don't know. But overall, I'm still like, will I go see Evil Dead Burn? Hell yeah. I'm excited for it. It sounds cool.
It's funny you mentioned the breaks being a challenge for the actual TV show, but I think the spacing out of the movies actually helped for me. I think right. If they were layered too much on top of each other, it'd be just a little too much. So having space to breathe helped me with it.
Oh, that makes sense. Matt, what about you?
I mean, I've always loved the original trilogy of films. Like, I just think they're fantastic. Like, the accomplishment of the first one for, like, so little money, it's an amazing feat. And the second one builds on it really well. And then with the third one, you just get this batshit crazy, like medieval dead, as you may say. And yeah, I've always loved the original trilogy. The remake and Evil Dead Rise, yeah, I think they were pretty good. Like, as far as like horror remakes go, because it's not really a remake, it's probably the best one that I can think of.
Yeah, it's really high up there for me. Like my favorite horror remake is usually Dawn of the Dead. No, not Dawn of the Dead. Night of the Living Dead, the in color one with like Tom Savini. Like that one is.
Yes, that is actually that is really good. Is that
really really good?
It's getting a. It's actually getting a 4K Blu-ray release, and
I will buy that. I didn't know that.
Yeah, they found a load of like lost footage as well of like of the fully uncut stuff apparently. So it's going to be like pristine as Tom Savini wanted it originally. 4K presentation. Oh, I need to pre-order that actually.
Yeah, that's like, but this would be up there for me, like right up there with that. Like that's that level. Yeah. Like it understood the assignment.
I think the only other sort of like horror remake that I can think of off the top of my head that is better than this, and just because it's probably the greatest horror remake of all time, would be The Thing.
Oh yeah,
like John Carpenter's The Thing, to be specific, not the shitty 2011 one or whatever it was when that came out.
That's a prequel.
Whatever. It was garbage. But yeah, and then like Evil Dead Rise. It was the first time I saw it, and to be honest, I didn't really know what to expect, and I enjoyed it for the most part. Could have done without that opening prologue, though. That was just dumb. And then the series, great first season, middling second season, and then I actually enjoyed the third season overall. To be honest,
Joel disagrees.
I do disagree. I do. You're wrong. It's okay. That's what I'm learning about the internet this week, is that I have to be okay with the idea of you're wrong, but that's okay. This is what we're practicing today.
Yeah. So like overall, my overall opinion of the series as a whole has probably gone down slightly, but my opinion of the original trilogy of films has stayed pretty constant. Like I don't think there's anything that could like mess that for me. Unless you found out that like Bruce Campbell was like some horrific Nazi murdering something like person. Maybe that'd make it a bit more difficult to watch and enjoy.
I'm just gonna go on a limb. If he's a Nazi murderer, I might still be okay with him.
More okay with the murdering part, personally.
I was referring to it as like a murderer of Nazis, and I'm like,
oh, okay.
Oh yeah. No, that's that. I'm
have totally at it, dude.
That's why we love Christopher Lee.
Yeah.
Ryan, can you murder a Nazi? Or is it just always justifiable homicide with a Nazi?
I mean. I think it's just a favor when it's a Nazi.
Right. You're doing the world a favor.
All right, Ryan, what about you?
No real change. I mean, this is a series that is meant to be horrific and fun at the same time. And watching that, I felt that in everything, you know, and I sit there and I watch and, you know, I appreciate guerrilla filmmaking. And the first one is definitely it. And, you know, when we talk about our rankings of the movie, I struggle with one and two. I struggle because they're the same movie, but one has a budget and one does not. So it's you know, it's extremely hard for me to sit there. You know, you want to sit there and give huge props to Sam Raimi and give him number one. But you're like, well, you have a bigger budget on part two. And it's, you know, it's a better put together film. But you got to appreciate the gorilla. But either way. You know, watching Army of Darkness is just reminds me why I love this series and the direction it headed, and then that tone carried on in the series. You know, when I said previously that I had binged Ash versus the Evil Dead, you know, taking breaks kind of led it to slag on. I'm like, oh my god, when am I going to be done with Ash versus Evil Dead? But I was able to see past that. And then when you talk about the two most recent films, I have to agree with you. Evil Dead from 2013 is by far one of Matt had it right with The Thing being the other one of the best horror remakes out there, because it stayed true to the essence of what Evil Dead was, which was full-on gore fest. It did not really incorporate any humor, which is where I think it went off in a different track, and I think that's great.
Camp, it just didn't have humor.
Right. Yeah. So,
which is the difference.
Evil Dead Rise kind of fell for me a bit on the second rewatch. I'm becoming less of a fan of that film. So One of my second favorite Deadite comes from that movie. Something off. So.
Oh wait, no, mine, no, mine's third.
It's fine. Potato, potato.
No, we're close. hey, they still made the top five, so there's something there. No, it's interesting. Like I when I went back to it, it's like I just think, like my wife and I were talking about it yesterday because I was making this list with her while I was watching my son play soccer. And I'm like, I just think Fetty is a stronger director than. So he gets how to do camp, which is, in my opinion, the hardest thing to do in cinema. Like, it is just extremely difficult to pull off camp well. Most of the time, it's done very well. It's done unintentionally. And I think this was not. So, like,
right.
I'm very, still very impressed by that remake.
Camp is one of those things where it's like, it's a balancing act, but it's like you're trying to balance on a fishing line.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's so... Like, you go too far one way, too far the other way, but it's so easy to go, like, veer off into either direction.
You really did in danger of getting real hokey. And yeah. It goes back to the intentional versus unintentional. And if you're trying too hard, it's the try hard aspect of it.
Yeah.
That's when it gets into the hokey territory, and people can see too much what you're doing.
Yeah, and Fetty is very, very good at hiding that. Not in our next series, but the series after our next series, we get another one of his movies, and it's still just like, this guy gets it. He gets the assignment, and he's very, very good at it. But, you know, that's a little ways from now. Are you guys ready to start for today? We're going to start with our top five Deadites. When I originally thought I was going to be doing this episode, I was going to, like, call John in to see if he could do, like, a whole bunch of, like, graphics and stuff, and then I ran out of time. So we're just going to just go like we used to, but, you know. Different, not different. but I'm gonna go first, and we'll go around the clock, and then we'll back around the clock, and, you know, like we always do.
So, and we're gonna do it like just the same as before, then.
Exactly the same as before, but I mean, but this time I'm gonna talk weird about it, and then we're gonna get started.
Distinction without a difference.
Boom. All right. So I'm gonna go first for our top five Deadites, and here we go. My number five is Coogie. Love Coogie. He's a big mascot that's a Deadite. How do you not love him? And just like the, ah, Coogie, they got you too.
That is one of those where they do play it off as kind of serious. He's not serious, scary moments, but the whole time, him just being in a costume, it's somebody played a little bit of Five Nights at Freddy's, and
yeah, a little bit.
We need a little bit of that into this, so it's funny too, so it works really well for Evil Dead.
It does, and it's one of those, like, no one's giving a fuck about the person in the costume. It's just Coogie.
It's the mascot.
yep.
It's the forgetting that it's not the costume that's the problem, it's the guy inside the costume. Yeah. But it's just like, nah, fuck the guy.
My number four is also from that same episode, and it's Rachel, the friend.
Oh, yeah.
She was just a fantastic Deadite. Felt like she was going back to, like, the movie-level Deadites. Just fucking mean and dangerous. Number three is the mom from Evil Dead Rise. Thought she was awesome. She carries that whole movie. Without her, that movie does not work. So, like, right. We're kind of on the fence of if it worked or didn't. The fact that it did at all was her doing. Number two is... She doesn't stay a Deadite, but for the majority of the movie she is, but it's Mia from the remake. I think she's awesome. She is an awesome, awesome, awesome bad guy. And then number one is Cheryl from part one. I got nothing to say beyond that, but it's like she's the reason we're all here, folks.
Is it specifically Cheryl in the first Evil Dead film, or are you counting it for when she comes back in Ash vs. Evil Dead as well?
That was just kind of a nice victory lap, but it's really just because of the first one. Had she not come back in Ash vs. Evil Dead, I would not have moved her from number one on my list. She still would be my favorite.
Fair enough.
Matt, you're up.
So, coming at number five, with me as well, Coogie.
Yeah!
this was one of the ones where it was like, I had two that were kept swapping between five and then whatever comes after five, because we only do top five, so there is no numbers other than five.
Right.
A
long time to get there.
Yeah.
We're better at it now.
But yeah, I ended up settling on Coogie just because it is just like, it's just this, it's the mascot they care about. Like, it is just, it's just so funny, just the way it's like, oh, Coogie, they got you too. It's like, No, they got the guy in the Oh, never mind. It's just brilliant. Number four is Evil Ash. I wasn't sure if, like, the reason this one's actually as low it is because I was kind of like, is it a Deadite? Is it not a Deadite? I couldn't really.
It's a Deadite.
Okay.
It's a Deadite. I wrestled with myself and I ended up going, like, no.
Yeah, so I put it on the list, but I put it a little bit lower just because it's not full Deadite, so it can't, like, rank above, like, other ones that are as, like, you know, more Deadite-y.
He has to be a Deadite, though, because he, you know, he gets burned and all that other fun stuff. He becomes a skeleton, so he's a Deadite. He's, like,
true.
He's the Green Leader, so.
Mm-hmm. True. But I think also, like, you have some great moments when he's not a Deadite as well. So
that's true.
You know, so justifying my positioning of him being four. That's okay. Number three, Henrietta from Evil Dead 2.
Nice.
That whole costume, and if you look at, like, behind the scenes stuff of that, like, there's moments where, like, all the foam thing, like, rips, and you just see sweat pour out of it, because it's basically like Ted Raimi in this giant rubber suit in the middle of summer in whatever southern state that they actually shot it in or something. It was very, very hot. But it's just, the effect is amazing. And just the sort of, that whole sequence with Henrietta is just so much fun in that film. Number two is Ellie, the mum, in Evil Dead Rise. Just, it's really, really, really creepy. Mm-hmm. Really creepy. Like, she carries that film. Yeah, just, like, easily the best part of that film. Without her in that role, I don't think the film works anywhere near as well. They did a fantastic job casting on that. And then number one is Cheryl.
Nice.
Specifically, when she comes back, though, in Ash vs. Evil Dead, she's fantastic in the original one, but when she comes back, there's just something just so much, like, fun about, like, you know, like, seeing her, like, having the original actress back, having her in the makeup, and having the makeup, like, match.
Yeah.
Cool. As it did in the first film. And then that whole sequence on the lawn, where he's sort of, like, saying, wait for it, and then she's like, it's brilliant. I think it's fucking fantastic. But I agree, like, it could be, like, I can include, like, her from the first one as well, because she is so good in that.
She's great.
In that first film as well. It's crazy that she never really went on to be an actress after that as well. Like, and the fact that, like, she came back for Ash vs. Evil Dead was kind of cool as well, given the fact that she'd retired from acting.
Yeah.
After making The Evil Dead, I think. So, but yeah, no. That's me.
All right, Ryan, you're up.
All right, so a lot of same things, a lot of not. Number
five. There's only five.
My number five is the mascot.
Coogie!
Jesus Christ, we're 3 for 3 in 5 place for Coogie.
Oh, wait, Joel's coming up. We're not going to get a perfect score.
Nope.
We never get a perfect score here.
I really thought that was how they did that in terms of not really caring about what's inside, but the fact that you've got this tiger thing coming at you, and everything played on really well. So let's not beat a dead horse. Number four is Henrietta. I think for 1980s, I think the makeups in that was incredible, especially with how we transformed into the giant snake-like head and the giant eye. I think just the progression of that Deadite was really unique and kind of comical at the same time. So it kind of embodied the whole thing. And then three is Mia from The Evil Dead. Jane Levy really murdered that role, to show her having struggled with addiction to then being just evil and then coming back. I mean, it's just everything about that performance was fantastic, but her and just how she looked and did things, especially with the box cutter.
Yeah.
Nailed it. Nailed it. Two is Mom from Evil Dead Rise. I think her bone structure and just how they made her makeup look with all natural, with her bone structure, really made her that much more terrifying, especially with how her arms kind of were lanky, and they used that in almost in like a spider form, especially when she was up in the corner. Everything about that was good. So I struggled with my number one. I did want to say Evil Dead, but Evil Ash, but I'm just going to say the Army of Darkness. I think the whole army, all the skeletons, it was just a fun sequence. You know, you've got guys in practical makeup, you've got skeletons. You could even say that Evil Ash, when he is his skeleton, I'm just saying the Army of Darkness is my favorite Deadites.
That's a good one. I struggled so much with trying to figure out how to put Army of Darkness on that list that I just ended up not doing it.
Yeah, because like, it was one of those things where like I looked at, I didn't class the skeletons as Deadites, really. Like,
no, but it's good.
They kind of are as well, really.
Yeah. It's tough.
But yeah, no, the skeleton sequence where they're sort of like, you see
they're all walking and playing the bones. Yep.
It's all about getting dug up. Like, it's an amazing sequence. Like, it's got one of my favorite lines in the film, which is not in the quotes. It's not an Ash quote. And right. It's the, welcome back to the land of the living. Now grab a shovel and get digging. it's just so good.
All right, Joel, you're up.
A few things. One, there's this something about saying somebody murdered that role sounds a little more sinister than
so-and-so killed. But Jane Levy did it.
So, thank you for that. Two, I had put Shimmer Monster on my top five Deadites and then realized that, in fact, no, it's actually not a Deadite, even though it might be one of my favorite monster things in the series. So number five is Cootie.
Yeah,
I don't need to say anymore. We've said enough. But that there, fine. I completed the. I was gonna say trifecta, but no.
But there's
whatever a square is.
Quadfecta.
Sure. No. number four is the Mom from Evil Dead Rise. I have more mixed feelings on that movie generally, but I think that she is what keeps it in the good category. She's terrifying, disturbing, has all that mocking, but it is not in good fun, and it's in the mean-spiritedness side that works really well in the framework of what that movie is. Number four is Cheryl. Or sorry, three is Cheryl from Ash vs. Evil Dead specifically. Mm. I liked that rendition of her. It was a nice return of that character, having Chet into the mix too was a lot of fun, and then having the moment at the end where Ash is just brutalizing her in public to prove that he's not in fact a serial killer, it's just a lot of fun things going together. Number two is Puppet Ash.
Nice.
I thought about it more and more, and I was like, that he doesn't stay, he's not around for a long time, he's around for a good time.
Yeah,
you know, it's all good when he's around. And then number one's Evil Ash. It can be whatever rendition you want it to be. It's kind of like the cabin where they kept on mining for more gold on that to varying levels of success. But no matter what, Bruce Campbell goes all the way for it. He never pulls a punch when he's doing it. And that's why it's usually pretty great.
Yeah. All right. Let's move on to quotes, which means Matt gets to go first. Luckily, none of the quotes in this were super long, so this can't take an hour, but we'll see.
Matt's thinking challenge accepted.
Oh, yeah. So coming in at number five.
Oh, sorry. I was going to say not to interrupt, but I'm definitely interrupting. Uh-huh. The rule on this one was Ash-specific quotes. So, like, it is... I'm going to allow some wiggle room on there because I had to use a little bit of wiggle room, but everything
like
is
like a lean-in quote before it.
Yes, because okay. I needed that one as well, but it's like the quote was definitely Ash's. But sorry, continue.
Typing at number five. This is my boomstick.
Yep.
Classic quote.
Yep.
Coming in at number four. I'm in the butt. I'm in the butt.
Oh, I forgot that one. Damn it.
Current number three, We hit a deer on the way up here, and when I tried to pull it out of the grill of my car, the sucker just exploded all over us. So we had to cut it up with my chainsaw arm. I'm actually a hunter, and I've never seen a deer explode. Well, maybe you're not hunting the right deer. Number two. Well, hello, Mr. Fancy Pants. Well, I got news for you, pal. You ain't leading but two things right now. Jack and shit. And Jack left town. And then number one, it's gotta be Groovy.
We might have a tie on number one for me, but Ryan, you're up next.
Yeah, and it might be three of us.
Who's right, typing? Well, I keep hearing this.
I muted my mic. That's not my fault.
Okay, I'm changing my number two because my number two got taken with Mr. Fancy Pants, but that's okay. Number five is from Ash vs. Evil Dead. Actually, my bottom two are from Ash from... There's a lot from... Either way. Number five is when he's battling Henrietta in the TV show, and she goes, I'm going to stump you a new mud hole to suck out your soul. And Ash is like, I should have slapped you harder. Number four is during the dance in the third season when he's chainsawing Ruby and he goes, since when did you start enjoying this?
That was a good one. Yeah.
It's the look on a face that really sells it. That's all like.
Number three is he walks out of the morgue and Kelly goes, oh shit, what happened in there? And Ash goes, let's go with colonoscopy. number two is shop smart, shop S smart.
There you go.
It's smart. Get it?
Yep.
Anyway, it was going to be Mr. Fancy Pads because I remember in my youth, I always said two things happened, Jack and shit, and Jack left town. Either way, number one is Groovy. You can't, it's Groovy.
All right, Joel.
It struck me how much Duke Nukem has taken from Ash Williams.
Oh yeah, just blatantly taking it.
Yeah,
like Duke Nukem's taken from like all sorts. Like if you ever get around to watching They Live, the whole chew bubblegum kick-ass thing, just that comes straight from They Live.
Yep. So just a funny little anecdote. So number five, when you removed the book from the cradle, did you speak the words? Yeah, basically. Did you speak the exact words? Look, maybe I didn't say every single little tiny bit of syllable. No, but basically I said them. Yeah. It was that, or even him, or him trying to like, say the incantation.
Ratu,
Verata.
But they're kind of connected to me. number four with Kelly, you know they were Jewish, right? And Ash, I did not. Wish you could have said something before I made these dumb crosses, but okay. number three. Yes, I'm upset. Yes, I'm behind the wheel. Yes, I'm drunk. And maybe my license isn't the fancy kind from the DMV, but at least I'm drunk. And then two is Groovy.
Mm.
Two is my Groovy. Number one has to be This Is My Boomstick.
Okay.
I had so much fun hearing that, and then the big explanation as if anybody knew what the hell he was talking about.
He starts explaining what gun it is. Like,
yeah. As if they even had
like an advert though. Right. It's like it's a walnut stock and available and like, $199.99.
but also people who have no concept of what a gun is, so it may as well be just magic.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's like speaking a foreign language, and their confusion tied to that was really great too.
All right, so my number five, continuing this conversation immediately, is, all right, listen up, you primitive screwhead, see this?
Yep.
It's my boomstick! Because how do you not? It's such a good line. All right, my number four, this is where we're getting to some different ones, is, I'd say it's a gift from God, but that's giving the big man upstairs too much credit. It's all me, baby. number three, also off Joel's list, is, they're Jewish, right? I did not. She had said something before I made those dumb crosses. So the fact that he says that after burying her parents is just like
And also, he's not concerned about being insensitive. He's concerned about wasting his time.
Yeah, like, you just wasted my time. number two has a lot of lead-in, but it's I need it. It's just so good. I like where your head's at almost as much as I like where your nub's at. Oh, that's disgusting. But I can't be mad, because that's exactly what I would have said. So good. Just the puppets. It's so good. And then number one is Groovy, because how, of course it is.
Right.
Unless you're Joel, and then it's number two. But hey, still made everyone's list. So does that happen before? Have we had a quote hit all five lists before? Or all four? I can count. I'm sure it has.
Did we have it happen in Die Hard?
Maybe Die Hard and maybe Terminator, like with Albie.
Yeah.
Like that.
Yeah.
I don't think we've had one line up in the same position yet.
No, not now. We just have it for characters with Coogie.
Yeah.
Oh, Coogie.
All right, Ryan, you're up. Top five kills from either the movie or show.
All right. Number five is Pablo slashed in half after the exorcism. I think that you sit there, everything's going all right, but you know that something bad happened. He comes back. He's not permanently dead, but I thought that kill in the moment was pretty cool. Mm-hmm. So number four is Evil Dead, Army of Darkness, or sorry, Evil Ash from Army of Darkness.
Yep.
When he's being catapulted and his brain goes off like a whistle. I just thought that was one of the most hilarious deaths. Number three is Rachel from season three, episode one, with the harp yep. kill. I thought that was pretty inventive, and I enjoyed that one. Next is the Henry the Red Soldier from Army of Darkness that just gets pushed down the pit, and then the blood just starts gushing up.
Yeah.
Thought that was that was great. And then last but not least is the abomination that Mia kills at the end of the remake, when she just rams the chainsaw right into the head. So,
all right.
That's it.
Joel, you're up.
Oh, number five, tree. I want you guys to sit with it and think about what you've done.
You haven't done anything.
I'm disappointed in all of you that I had to experience that. Okay. Number four is Henrietta from Evil Dead 2. It's a cool kill. A nice moment of Ash being badass in the earlier part of his life here. Number three is Pablo with Ball. Like Ryan, same thing. It's a very cool moment. You see Pablo getting his hero moment. It's just this tiny little sliver of a slice you can miss if you don't pay attention.
Yep.
It's very good. Number two is Linda from Evil Dead 2. This is where the first two movies, if they do anything really good, it's darkness.
Yeah.
And just letting you sit in it. And going back to the tree, for example. But this is one where it's, you know, having to actively dismember this person and them mocking him with both the lovey-dovey stuff and the kind of like she's in hell and you're coming with me stuff, it works really well. So I think it was an important kill. And then number one was from 2013, the chainsaw at the end.
Yeah.
Just this extended brutal scene. And I didn't quite hit the camp out of it that Brian got out of it, for example, but even just as a purely violent horror movie moment, it's a perfect exclamation point.
It's just, for me, it's the blood coming out of the saw while it's raining blood.
Such a dark, explicit scene. It's just great.
All right, so my number five is, it's a very, very slow death, and it takes, I'd say, about half a movie to happen, but it's Eric from the remake. Just,
I was gonna put him on my list, but I did not. Because dude got owned.
But it took a long time to get there, and he just kept kind of getting back up. It's like, oh, dude.
I mean, it's his own fault. Yeah. Let's face it.
Sure, but like, dude, tap out. You're done. My number four was actually Amanda from Ash vs. Evil Dead. Like, her death scene is actually pretty good, and she felt like a main character. And then
when she falls back.
Yeah, and then
I wrestled with that one too.
It was a good moment of like, oh shit. So there she goes, and like I didn't, I remember the first time watching, I legitimately did not expect her to die. Like, she felt like she was supposed to be like the everyman who's like doesn't believe this, who's gonna like stick around for a while, and then the fact that she got killed in pretty spectacular fashion. I thought that was pretty cool. Number three was Linda for everything that Joel just said from Evil Dead 2. Just totally agree there. My number two was the Abomination from the end of the remake, because everything you guys have already said. My number one, though, just because I love the moment so much, because it's such an emotional undercut of the scene, and the fact that it's a callback to Christine, is Ash's dad. I fucking love that.
Yeah.
And the fact that it's so brutal. It's like, it's not just like, oh, his dad died. It's his head popped. It's like, it was gone. And it just comes so out of left field of like, I never told you that one.
Yep.
Yeah. And then you follow it up in the next episode where he's trying to put the brain back in, and it's just like, it just gets falling out, and it's just like the sort of like squelchy.
That's good stuff. All right, Matt, you're up.
So my number five is the wood chipper in Evil Dead Rise.
Nice.
I think it's a nice sort of like juicy, gory ending. And then number four is the dagger going into Shelley's back. But then, like, more to do with, like, all the chaos that happens after that from the original film. Like, so the dagger goes in, and then just all the shit that happens after that. I just think it's a great sort of, like, lead into all, like, the stop-motion animation of everything. And, like, you know, Sam Raimi sort of, like, pelting Bruce Campbell with fake blood going, like, behind the camera. Because you know that's what he was doing. Number three is the Knight of Sumeria that Brock kills, just because of that whole scene where he just like he knocks him down the stairs, and then you have like Bruce Campbell running and going, so you just lead? Why am I talking to you?
Like, yeah.
Brilliant. Number two is Ball slicing Pablo in half.
Like
you said it already, like it's so well done, like just that subtle that you just don't notice, and then all of a sudden you just like straight in half.
Yeah,
brilliant. And then my number one is basically every single one of the diner kills in the episode The Killer of Killers, like in the diner episode where the kid going into the ceiling fan and like all that that craziness, just that whole sequence is amazing.
He never got his fruit cup, did he?
I don't think he did.
All right, that was everybody, right?
Yep.
So who's up first for top five episodes?
Sir Joel.
I think it's me. Number five is Last Call, season two, episode three. We did Chet's pretty great for as long as he's in there. I do like the whole bar scene interaction. It was a lot of fun in an episode. Number four is Jacksonville, season one, episode 10. I think that's the finale. It's action-packed. I don't remember it being quite as funny, but I really liked how they ended it, because they're in a lot of shows, they would do the whole hero moment with Ash doing the sacrifice thing in order to kill evil. But it made sense that, number one, he would choose to fuck off to Jacksonville. And then, two, the twinge of caring about Pablo and... I never remember her name ever.
Kelly.
Kelly. Thank you. I should remember that name. That's how unmemorable it was. I got a very intimate knowledge of this name, and I still can't remember her name in the show. But it showed like the smallest twinge of character development, which is nice. Number three was Ashes to Ashes. I think the whole going back to the cabin thing got really worn thin, but the first time or so was very, very good, and it felt like somebody trying to redo everything in the first and second movie in a way that was more cohesive with the story arc, but it felt like a party. I think that worked well. Number two is Delusion, season two, episode seven. I love how they tried to play with a different type of horror in that episode. Talk about how it's a bottle episode, sort of, but it's very well done. And Puppet Ash, you can't deny Puppet Ash. And then season one, episode five is The Host, because if there's one thing for sure I'll remember distinctly from this show, it's that terrible vibrational shimmer monster thing where every time that he, you know, snagged into your brain, it's like synapses firing off and losing brain cells and stuff. That very cool effect. I think that's the episode where Ash is trying to bargain with people not to slice him open while, Kelly is doing shotgun bond with Pablo. So a lot of really good stuff there.
All right. Mine is different, but also not that crazy different. So we'll see. So my number one is is season 3, episode 1, Family. I like because it felt like, I know Joel's not a huge fan of season 3, but I liked it and I got it right out of the gate. I'm like, oh, this is, you understand the assignment better. Like this is good. We got Coogie. We got the high school kills. Like, yeah, it was a very fun episode and it felt like we were back to like what I liked about season 1. Number 4, Ashes to Ashes, going back to the cabin. I like that a lot. Number 3 was the high school murder episode from season 3, the Twist and Shout. I thought that was just a super fun episode. I liked the evil Ash in that one a whole bunch. He was funny and he was also kind of scary, so it was a good time. My number 2, for a similar reason but different episode, I wanted the puppet, so I went with Ashy Slashy for that one. I don't know why I like that one better than the other one. They're both good. I really could have picked either one, but you know. And then number 1 is going to be the very first episode because it just, it really drew me into the show and like it had a lot of good promise and it had like the whole like, how did the book get read again? Well, he got stoned and wanted to impress a girl, which is just such a very Ash way to kick off this whole 3-season arc of just insanity. And it was a great episode. Like that was the one that you could feel like it felt like a Comic-Con episode. Like one's going to play in front of a huge crowd, has like a lot of cheer moments and stuff. And it's a, it's a party. It's a good time.
Yeah. That was close for me. The only detractor for me, and I know it needed to do it. The series was always 25 to 30 minute long episodes. Right. And that intro one was 40 some minutes. Yeah. So there were some long in the tooth pieces for that for me, but I agree. It's probably one of the best.
All right, Matt, you're up.
So coming at number 5, The Metal of Man. I actually think it's a really good finale. And honestly, like I've thought about this a little bit. I love how they end the series because they go back to like everything is screaming the ending of Army of Darkness again. He's got the gray streak through his hair again. Yeah. Which wasn't in the series, but it's suddenly there. And then it's like, you know, teasing the apocalypse ending, which we're never going to see Ash in the apocalypse. And I love how they went into that going, yeah, we're not getting a season 4. Let's just fuck with the audience and tease that this is going to be what's coming soon. You're not going to see it. Fuck you. I do love that. And the sort of the Mad Max classic as well. It just, the sort of like the offing of the demon was pretty simple, but I think there's a lot of stuff around it which is really cool, like Ash driving the tank and then just like coming out the top and just going fuck you to it. It's just great. But yeah, that ending, that final sequence, I think it's great. I can't think of a better way to have finished the series, to be honest. Number 4 is Books from Beyond. That's the first time we see this sort of the shimmery monster thing. I just love that whole sequence in there where it's like he's going through it, he's going, oh, bring the weakest demon out. Oh, that, this is one about the mind. Oh yeah, sounds like a nerd, bring him out. And then what comes out is the most horrific fucking thing ever. Number 3 is the morgue, because you know, I'm in the butt. Just that whole sequence is just phenomenal. And then, like, as they're driving back after that as well, and like Kelly's like sticking her head out the window because he's still covered in shit and everything. Number 2 is the pilot, El Jefe.
Yeah,
you know, like you say, it's a fantastic start to the series. It's like it's directed by Sam Raimi, so it has that sort of that feel to it. And you've just got some like really great moments in that episode where you have the doll in the like coming to life in the storeroom as well. Yeah. And like in fighting with the tiny doll, and the bit with the light bulbs is where he just picks it up and they all just go like, out. It's some great, some great slapsticky sort of like comedy in there. And it's a nice mixture of like all the kind of things that we love about Evil Dead all in one episode. And then also it does a really good job of setting up what's coming next. But then number one, Killer of Killers. It's the diner episode. It's just so good. Like the way it starts, the dialogue, him flirting with the waitress, and then just all the chaos that happens after that. It's brilliant. It's so much fun to watch.
That was my, like, if I had to have a number six, that was my number six. I wrestled with putting that one on my list a lot and just didn't quite make it.
Yeah.
All right, Ryan, you're up.
Everybody has said my episode. So number five is Ashes to Ashes. I mean, you know, call it nostalgia bait to go back to the cabin, but I think that the way that they did it was very well done, especially for the first season. So season one, episode eight. Number four is the pilot, El Jefe. I think that it's a great start and way to bring things in. And reintroduce Ash as a character and just show just what he would do to get a woman and then show that he is in fact a badass. Three is season two, episode seven, Delusion, Puppet Ash. There's not much more you can say about that because I also tried to look at this as one that made me, because it's supposed to be a horror comedy and it really, you know, leaned into the camp and tried to be as funny as it could. That's why my number one is where it is, but we'll get to that in a second. Two is Twist and Shout, season three, episode seven with the dance. I thought the way they played everything off, you know, it was kind of, you know, the way they showed, you know, the mistaken identity and how that all played out. I thought it was very well written. There's a lot of funny lines in that, especially when he's sneaking in. He goes, "How's this for a back door?" Anyway. And then last but not least is The Morgue. I don't think I've ever laughed as hard as I do when I watch that episode. It is funny, it is creative, and it is Ash. Like, that is the situations and the shit that Ash, literal shit, that Ash gets himself into. So, The Morgue is my number one because The Morgue is probably one of the reasons why I go back and watch this show if I ever do, is because I know I'm going to laugh extremely hard at some of the things that Ash says or does, and season two, episode two, is the pinnacle of that, I think.
All right. So we made it to the end. We got to rank our movies. I did my ranking the way that I usually do, which is not necessarily in the order of which ones I think are best, but in order of which ones I'm going to rewatch again. And I feel like I need to make that distinction because I do, like, I have one that's out of order that I'm like, I think it's a better movie, but I'm not going to put it on as much just because it's fucked, man. Like, it's such an upsetting movie, so it fell one, but I still think it's the better pick. Anyhow, number five for me is Evil Dead Rise. I think it's probably gonna win fifth place across the board, but we're gonna find out in a moment.
We have Joel on here, let's not forget.
Nothing if not contrarian.
That's fair.
His opinion on the first film
is
like,
very
is
very low. Unfortunately for me, it's also number four. And that's where I'm like, that's the one that I'm like, it fell out because as much as I love Evil Dead and I love Evil Dead, it's a very upsetting movie. And it's hard. It's like, I want to watch something fun today. I'm going to watch these people just get fucking murdered in the woods. So that one I don't watch as much, even though I think it's great. Number three would be the remake. We keep referring to the remake, even though like Evil Dead Rise kind of made it no longer a remake, but it's easier just to call it that way. And then my number two and one was a literal coin flip. I could not decide. So I was sitting in the park and I flipped a coin and it ended up with being Army of Darkness number two, Evil Dead 2 number one. I don't have any reason why they're in that order beyond the coin said so. So so there you have it. That's my top five.
So wait, where'd the remake lie? Number three?
Number three.
Okay.
All right, Matt, you're up.
Cool. So, coming at number five, Evil Dead Rise. Number four, Evil Dead 2013. Number three, Evil Dead 2. Number two, The Evil Dead, to be honest. Those two, they're about on par. It would be a coin flip. I gave a little bit extra to the original, just because of the pure guerrilla filmmaking,
yeah,
and the talent that they had to, like, the resourcefulness, I suppose, is the right word. And then number one, Army of Darkness. I fucking love that film so much. Like, it's, I could watch that 1,000 times and I'd still laugh.
So good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right, Ryan.
Okay. So number five is Evil Dead Rise. I just...
Whoa!
There are some things in that movie that have really fallen off for me, especially on the second rewatch. The
CGI eyes? Man, CGI, I hate the CGI eyes. Oof.
Again, the feeling of... the actor with the records, it just doesn't work for me. So there's that. Still, it's still good. It's not as good as I once thought it was, either way. Number four is going to hurt a lot because it is the movie that introduced me to the Evil Dead.
Evil Dead?
No, it's Army of Darkness.
Wow.
And the reason why I put it at number four is because I can't stand when film franchises go lower in rating to try to get more audience. And Army of Darkness is rated PG-13. It's rated PG-13.
Did they actually get the PG-13? Because I think the studio wanted a PG-13, but
it was released as a PG-13 film.
Huh. Wow. Is that the version that we all watch?
No, they've come out with gorier. Am I wrong on this?
Yeah, I'm looking up right now. 1992, rated R.
Oh, well, fuck.
I think the studio wanted PG-13, but the ratings board was basically like, you're Sam Raimi, you're going to get an R.
Okay, well, then I'm switching. No matter what.
Yeah, you update that correctly.
Nice I'm try. Switching that.
Yeah.
Then the second one would go to... four would be the remake. If I could have a four-way tie for number one, I would. That's how much I like this series. I really mean that 100%. Now that I think it's the broadcast version that I'm thinking of that went PG-13. Either way.
Yeah, because it's TV.
Right.
Every film that's broadcast on TV goes PG-13.
So four is the remake. Just because, you know, It took out some of the tone that originally was stepped forward by the series. I like that it went straight gore and straight horror with the campy feel, but, you know, Evil Dead is because of Ash, and you miss that with besides the last 20 seconds. So that's number four. Number three is Army of Darkness, just because I have to look at one and two as being the same film, but same film. So it's the movie that started it all for me. But I look at the other two and I think the first one shows you how you can go out and do a backyard and make a film with what you have. And two is expanding on that story-wise. So two is Dead by Dawn, Evil Dead 2, and one is Evil Dead, just because I can really appreciate what Sam Raimi went out to do in terms of filmmaking. And I get that it's a grueling shoot. We're going to talk about grueling shoots with our next film series, but it pays off dividends because it becomes a classic. And there's a reason why Evil Dead is a classic and has such a strong following, especially when you watch Hail to the Deadites. You know, it's either Evil Dead or Army of Darkness. This list was impossible for me, but if I could have a four-way tie for number one, that's what it would be, one through four, and then number five would be five. Evil Dead Rise, but it's just in that moment, it's just how I'm feeling. So,
see, that's why I did my like, which ones I'm going to rewatch, because I agree, it'd be a four way tie. I'd have the exact same problem. Like, all right, well, but which one will I turn on again? And I'm not going to make you restack your numbers. This is the version that Universal got that they thought was going to get a PG-13. So that's what came out. They didn't get it, but they did force it and hire another editor to try to get that PG-13. They just didn't get it. So
that's fine. I'm still happy with my list.
Your instinct was right, but you know, I'm glad you reordered. Joel, you're up. Let's make the whole room mad.
Yeah.
Number five, Evil Dead.
Fuck you, Joel.
Evil Dead Arise. Evil Dead Arise is number
five. Okay.
Oh.
Look at that.
This was a very hard choice for me because.
We know.
Yeah. I think part of what brought this movie down is that I think besides the mom, I wasn't all that thrilled about most of. I mean, go back to the episode where we talked about, where I talked about my mixed feelings. I think the DJ thing is something where they had a cool idea of how to play the record by going backwards and kind of reverse engineered into a character. At least that's how it felt. But despite that, there was a lot of good stuff. It just, it felt a little muddled. Number four is The Evil Dead. Number one, it got bumped up mostly just because nothing else comes from this unless that existed. And if they don't understand story structure, they don't really understand character development. They don't understand proper movie making, but they understand darkness and murder gore and mockery. And they knock that stuff out of the park. Number three is remake. So the Evil Dead remake, I think it is a very good movie. Actually, it's a solid horror movie. They do a lot with the nastiness and gore aspect of it. I didn't quite see the camp or humor that maybe some of you guys did, but I'm okay with that because I think it really works well still as just a straight up horror blood and guts movie.
Sure.
Number two, Brian, your coin flipped ruined things for us matching, because number two is Evil Dead 2. I think this we talked about, is it a sequel or remake? I see it as a redoing of the Evil Dead 1 with them trying to cobble together something more cohesive. I don't think it knocks everything out of the park, but it's an attempt to try to clean up and do a better version of that, and I appreciate it for what it is. And then last is Army of Darkness. I think if we're talking about movies that we'll go back to and watch, I actually bought a copy of Army of Darkness. I'm going to watch that again sometime. Between the camp and the humor, I like how much they borrow from literary stuff, because there's also it's connected to Arthur's court, connected to Antony Arthur's court. There's a bit of Gulliver's Travels in it too. That's really funny. Ash becomes more clownish, which I really appreciate. Yeah. And then it's just a lot of fun. It's a party. And more broadly to Sears, I appreciate that you can tell they're artists. It's kind of like when he cuts his arm off and puts the bucket on with the book that says A Farewell to Arms, right? They've got a good sense of humor throughout, but I think it really shines in that movie.
All right. Well, our lists were pretty close. Like the original ping ponged around a little bit, but that's okay. I'm glad we did this one. I had a lot of fun with Evil Dead, even if I'm sort of on the fence of if did we waste time with Ash vs. Evil Dead. I don't think we did. I know none of us were the biggest fans of that show, but it's still like this would have felt a little. I don't think we would have had as much to talk about, both literally and figuratively, had we not done that other journey with Ash. So I think it was all worthwhile. Do I recommend everybody watch all of it? I don't know.
I think by the time you hit a season and a half, you're gonna start knowing whether or not you want to continue.
Yeah, and it's like I'd almost just say just skip season two if you're not feeling it, and then just start season three. And if you like season three, then you might be good. But I don't know.
I think it's one of those things where it's like if you really enjoy the original three films, then I would recommend the series. I think it's one of those things where you have to be a really good. Like quite a big fan of them though, because I think if you're not, by the time you get like partway through season two, there won't be like the goodwill that you have already for the series, and I think you're just kind of like eh.
And like, it doesn't do very good character payoff. Like if you're a very big fan of Ruby, her character just fizzles out, and it's like that's kind
of
disappointing.
Out of her wigs.
Yeah.
But like there's issues with it. Where like I agree, if you're a big fan of it, give it a shot, and if not, then probably not. But that's it. We have Evil Deaded, and I'm glad we did. But now we need to go swimming, and it's going to be a lot of fun to go swimming. At least, you know, as long as you're not a little boy on a yellow raft.
or a naked lady.
Or a naked lady.
Or a dog.
Or dog, or a fisherman. Everything's from the first movie that I just said. I can't think of the kills of the other movies. I love the first movie a whole bunch. 2, 3, and 4. I've seen 2 once. I've seen 3 once. I've seen 4 like 15 times. Because that one was like, that was like a,
so
like a
bad college, good.
That was a college drinking movie. So we watched it a lot. Like every time the shark would roar with a lion, it was like, ah, finish your drink. There we go. Like,
every time the shark moves like a robot, take a drink.
It's just
my favorite is when it comes out of the water at the very end and it goes like.
Oh, 4 is going to be, I'm excited to get to 4. But we're doing Jaws next, if we haven't said that specifically. The name of our next show is The Teeth of the Sea. If you don't get that reference, look it up. And I'm really excited to get into it. And we're going to do something a little different. Finally, when I say something a little different, we actually mean a little different this time. For our 5th episode, since there's only 4 this time, we're all going to do a little bit of homework. And we're all going to go watch a different shark movie and bring back our quote-unquote book reports and talk about our shark movies. Which I'm really excited for that. I've already called dibs on Deep Blue Sea. Might be part of the reason why I agreed to do Jaws in the first place. But, you know, that's fine. I just needed a good excuse to watch the music video only. No, I'll watch the movie too. But we don't do plugs on a wrap-up episode, so we're just going to say goodbye. Bye.
Bye.
Groovy.
Glad someone did it.